Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. I am your host today, Hannah McManus, and I'm joined with Mr. Phil Treadwell, who I think all of you probably know. I was looking at your website before coming on here, Phil, and your About Me section is full of awards and recognitions, including top 10 mortgage coaching programs in 2023. So congratulations and welcome to Lending Forward.
Well, thank you, Hannah. I'm excited to be back. A lot going on in the business, and I look forward to a fun conversation.
There is a lot going on in the business. So tell me, coaching in 2023, I don't like to look back, but I feel like you have to look back a little bit to go forward. 2023 came with some challenges. To say the least. So did you have to shift your coaching a little bit? I mean, people had to kind of shift the way they were working, the way they were doing activities, the way they were offering value. Did coaching shift a bit?
Yeah, it did. You know, I joke that, you know, a lot of people see me as a performance coach, a mindset coach, a mortgage coach. And, you know, there is a huge element of that. And in 2023, it was a lot of therapy as well. A lot of, talking people off the ledge. And I think that that's one of the things is what people fail to realize is that it's not always just about the tactics. Obviously, tactics is where we get our business, but sometimes we go look for all of the tactical things that we need to do. What are the 7 steps to success? What are the 10 activities I need to do every day to build our business? And sometimes we have to take a step back and say, okay, what do I need mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? You know, mindset is a big topic of what I talk about and coach on, but mindset is really controlling the only 2 things that we can actually control, which is our attitude and our actions. And you can't have a positive mindset when you physically feel like crap. So it's also about understanding our environment, understanding the things we put in our mind. And from a coaching perspective, to get the best out of people tactically and to help them build their business, sometimes that means we have to dial it back a little bit and kind of look at what's underneath and figure out what's making people tick, what's their why, where is it they're going, you know, what's relevant to their clients and partners. And how we did that, how we unpacked that in 2023 was quite a bit different than in years past.
And we talked a lot about mindset too in our company. We did, but just, you know, in general, we still preach on mindset. And, you know, it's funny. It was kind of, I lived it out this past week. I didn't realize that I was in a pretty crappy mindset and I was coming at people kind of negative. And thankfully my boss kind of pulled me out of that and was like, I think you need to be around people. Like, you've been stuck at home. I had a baby 5 months ago. Like, you've been stuck at home. You need to get out. You're a personal person. Like, you need to have interactions and it's right. Pulling you down. So I'm assuming, you know, some of your coaching clients were going through the same thing. COVID changed so much. And then the industry changed so much that, you know, just how are you, and like a couple, you know, bullet points for our listeners, like, how are you pulling people out of that negative mindset that, you know, things are better, but we got to work on the inside. And how much of that is mental versus, you know, you're not eating right, you're not sleeping, you're not drinking water?
Yeah. No, that's a great question. And that really kind of goes to the kind of the core foundation of what we unpack for people. You have to really build the foundation. So when we think about what is our North Star, what's the ideal version of us? You know, a lot of us have heard the expression or the quote, the definition of hell is meeting the person that we might have become. And I think if we really think about that, it's like, okay, well, let's figure out who that person is. What do they look like physically? What do they wear? You know, what kind of shape are they in? What's their health look like? What are their relationships with their friends and their family? What is their finances look like? What type of business do they have? You know, what hobbies do they have? Do they travel? Really think about all of the parts about us And then we start to reverse engineer that and really come up with those milestones and the steps and some of the bigger goals to become that person, to kind of reach that North Star. And as we reverse engineer that, that's going to help us kind of create the goals that we have for this coming year or for the next quarter. And through those, once we kind of identified that first step, those first goals, we can start working on daily habits. And daily habits and non-negotiables is really the more direct answer to your question. Because if we can every day make sure we're listening to a podcast, you know, listening to Audible, reading a book to work on ourselves mentally, making sure we're intentional in our relationships with our friends and family that takes care of us emotional, you know, however we believe, whatever we do spiritually, prayer, quiet time, you know, meditation, whatever that looks like, those things are going to put us in the best position to go out and execute. Then we have our daily habits around our business, you know, our social media posts and content creation and our reach outs to clients and partners via text, email, phone call, whatever. Those daily habits really allow us to be proactive in our day. We're able to kind of take control and not be reactive to what's happening around us. So that's a big part of making sure that we take ourselves out of it, because as we wake up every morning and start attacking those daily habits, whether that's a morning routine or just things that we're doing, what happens is we start to create momentum. Each one of those is a win. Our mind only distinguishes between wins and losses, but not how big they are. So if, you know, I wake up a little bit earlier and then I go to the gym and I listen to a podcast and I post some content and drink a protein shake instead of a bagel, I've started stacking a bunch of wins. Well, then if my first phone call is, I completely bomb it, my mind's like, okay, well, that was a loss, but I made my bed this morning. That was a win. So those cancel each other out. I still have momentum, and that momentum creates motivation. We've all been on a weekend walk through the garage and seen, you know, a shelf that need to get reorganized. And then the next thing we know, 3 hours later, we've cleaned the whole garage. Right? Or we're cleaning something up in the kitchen and we've cleaned the whole kitchen, reorganized shelves and touching up paint on the walls. That momentum creates more motivation. And the other thing that happens is it creates confidence. Confidence isn't a personality trait. Confidence is a skill that we learn by understanding that those little wins move the needle a lot more than those little losses do. And so if we're just very deliberate and intentional in a lot of the things that we already do, putting those on some type of a checklist, as well as adding a few other things that we, again, want to be intentional about, that's really how we pull ourselves out of it. And then the last thing I'll say real quick is we also have to be kind of protective of our environment, the people that we're around, the people that we talk to and associate with, the shows we watch, the things we listen to. A lot of those go into our subconscious and can play a big role in how we feel, what we think, and what we say.
That I just wrote down so many things. but let's go back to the morning routine, because I think you hear a lot of people talk through a morning routine. You have to have a morning routine. And I think a lot of people get caught up in like, okay, this is what their morning routine looks like. So this is what my morning routine should look like. Walk us through kind of how you help your clients get to a morning routine that fits them.
Yeah. So there's a really great book by Hal Elrod called The Miracle Morning. And a lot of that will help people kind of identify some things that are going to make kind of their perfect morning routine. For me, I hate waking up early. I mean, I hate it with a passion. I'm a night owl by nature. But most mornings I wake up about 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's the biggest win that I can get almost all day. And it's just simply a decision that I'm going to get up and do that. And so for me, it's about waking up a little earlier than you normally would, because you've bought yourself some time. And, you know, then I'm very big on some type of a physical activity. I don't care whether you lift, whether you work out, you know, whether you just take a walk, you know, do some breathing exercises. That physical aspect really helps, because anything that allows us to oxygenate our blood, and that oxygenated blood goes to the brain and releases the feel-good hormones, serotonin, dopamine, endorphins, that's going to make us feel a little bit better and think a little bit more clearly. And I also think we need to have an element of, you know, journaling or some introspection, saying affirmations, those types of things. And then how do we educate ourselves? Again, books, podcasts, Audible, things of that nature. It's really, if you think about spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, financial, how do we start checking off some of those boxes every single day? There's no one size fits all. And I really don't care what time someone wakes up, but you've got to take a couple hours first thing in the morning, first thing to start your day, to put you in the right position. And an easy metaphor is, if you think about Olympic athletes, and I like to use a sprinter, before a sprinter goes out and runs the race, they warm up a little bit, right? They do some breathing, they do some stretching, they might even do some sprinting. Okay, well, what does that mean for us? We try to wake up, roll out of bed, you know, drink a cup of coffee, and then all of a sudden we're going to perform like an elite professional. And it doesn't work that way. We've got to take some time and prime those parts of it. Maybe even practice the script that we're going to use on a phone call. You know, the very first podcast recording I ever did, man, it's almost been 6 years ago, was with Barry Habib. I knew Barry through my boss. He's become a really, really close friend and mentor over the years. And in that first podcast recording, he said a professional boxer trains 5,000 minutes for every 1 minute they spend in the ring. And when you think about that, as those of us that aspire to be elite professionals, how often are we practicing our craft? How often are we spending time kind of training? Well, for those of us that talk to people, that build strategies, that build hope, that, you know, kind of sell this American dream of homeownership, it's not about LTV and DTI. It's about understanding what those people are trying to accomplish in purchasing that home. Nobody wants a mortgage. No one says, give me a big fat mortgage. Give me the biggest one you've got, right? They want what that mortgage does for them. And so that's talking about creating a relationship with someone. And we can't do that when we've just rolled out of bed. We're still groggy. We got, you know, crappy things going on in our mind. We're trying to get going. We have to understand that a morning routine isn't about discipline or about, you know, disciplining ourselves or punishing ourselves. It's about how do we bring the best version of us out so that we can go perform at the level that we're capable of.
That's so good. I've never heard someone break down a morning routine like a sprinter, but I love putting sports analogies with what we do because I think it meshes so much. And we have so many like sports coaches and things on that, it just all makes a lot of sense. So sticking on that and kind of building on your habits, and we're getting ready to go into spring buying season.
Yeah.
And so everybody is now getting excited because we're pretty sure that the Fed's going to cut some rates. We're pretty sure that the buyers that have been on the fence are going to come out. How do we kind of prepare ourselves, build those habits to be ready when the curtain drops?
Yeah, great question. I think that the first thing we have to realize is that there's opportunities in every market, in every market environment. You know, if someone were to pay attention to the media, you know, first thing we have to realize is the media's unofficial motto is, if it bleeds, it leads, right? They want to talk about the doom and gloom. No one's going to talk about the positive things. So we can't let our clients and our partners rely on the media for their source of information, because honestly, right now is a better time to buy a home than it probably is going to be in the next 6 months. Because like you said, there's a lot of buyers that are on the fence. There's a lot of people waiting in the wings. I mean, if you look at millennials, there's 50 million millennials in the United States, and only about half of them are homeowners. So if you take, you know, 10% off the top or precluded from buying for qualifying reasons, we still have 20 million just millennials that are going to be entering the home buying market. We've got to understand that this American dream of homeownership is alive and well. We also understand some of the supply concerns we have. So as rates start to soften and as rates start to drop and more people enter the market, we all know simple supply and demand, housing prices and home prices are going to increase. So someone may be able to buy a home right now at a higher interest rate. And if they're waiting for lower interest rates, they're going to go buy a home for a much more expensive price at a lower rate and probably have a higher payment. And so what we have to do to make sure we're primed and ready for this buying season is start educating people now, start making them realize what's really happening in the market, what's really going on. And I think the other thing we have to do is we have to start talking to people. We think that sales calls have to be sales calls, that we have to reach out to realtors for the purposes of them sending us business, that we have to do annual reviews for the purposes of them wanting to refinance with us or buy another home. And really what we need to do is just be talking to people and having conversations. Something as simple as if you reached out to 5 or 10 people in your phone, we all have hundreds of people, if not thousands of people on our phone or that we're connected with on social. and sent him a quick text or made a quick phone call and was just like, hey, Hannah, it's Phil. I hope you're doing well. I know that you know I'm in the mortgage business, but what you may not know is I actually create strategies to help people create wealth with homeownership or to create financial security through purchasing a home. I'd love to share some details and really get your opinion on what we're doing to see if you might know of someone that's good for me to talk to. And if we just did that, what happens is, first of all, people love to give their opinion. And second of all, as they're listening to you, that may apply to them. They'd be like, well, I'm someone that really needs to talk to you. Or if we're reaching out on our annual reviews and just letting them know, hey, you know, part of the thing we promised was we're going to be an advisor for life. And we just wanted to update a few quick pieces of information so that in the event that you do need, you know, the services of a mortgage advisor, we're ready to go. So it's as smooth and seamless as possible. And the second piece is, I'd also like to know, hey, on your professional service providers, how happy are you with your attorney, your CPA, your insurance agent? And get some of those names, because now what happens is, if it's a financial advisor that you don't know, you can reach out and say, hey, Hannah is one of our mutual clients. I'd love to hear what you've got going on, see if our goals align. Maybe we can do some business together. If we just took time every day and stopped worrying about creating leads and doing refinances and purchasing homes and just talk to people and educated people and understand we are a subject matter expert, but in our everyday life, we go out and talk about things we have in common with people, and we get to know someone at the gas pump next to us or in the line at Subway getting a sandwich. Then we come into business and we shut off all those relationship skills and we start selling. And we have to remember at its core that marketing is about getting someone's attention. Sales comes later. It's a different conversation. Marketing is about getting someone's attention, hard stop. Effective marketing is taking that attention and balancing it with trust. And the way we create trust is to find things in common with people, giving people something of value without asking for anything in return. And most loan officers think they're marketing, and really they're just selling. No one cares about the features in a loan product. No one cares about the features of a house. They care about benefit. How does this benefit me? So if we'll start having conversations, sharing information, sharing stories, we're going to develop relationships with people. And at its core, we all know 30, 40, 50 people pretty well. But each one of them know 30, 40, 50 people really well. It's basic circle marketing. And if we'll just have conversations with people, those conversations will turn into leads, and those leads will turn into closed loans. And so we need to focus on, how do we get people's attention in a relevant way? How do we put out content that adds value? Not about housing. Value can be something as simple as a funny video or a meme, or where kids eat free Monday through Wednesday night, right? We're kind of boiling the ocean trying to come up with this perfect real estate reel or TikTok that we can put out that's going to make the phone ring. And that's just not how it happens.
And I'm glad you didn't bring up social, but I want to talk about social, because I think you're like a social media king. You know, how do we create attention? And you nailed it. And I'm laughing on the inside, because we do, you know, you see all of these, I don't want to say boring, but boring reels on Instagram or TikTok, where it's like, you know, this is what a DTI is. And this is, like you said, these are the loan features of this product. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, it doesn't matter. So, you know, how are you coaching your clients to create interesting, relevant content that, you know, attracts people to you, not to your company, not to the loan product, but to you?
Yeah.
How are you kind of coaching around that?
Yeah. The first step is to understand that we all hear we need to have a personal brand, but I
think that's a buzzword nowadays, and nobody knows what that means.
That's exactly right. And we're going to break it down. I almost want to throw the term personal brand away and start talking in terms of digitizing reputation. Reputation being who you are, not just how many loans you've closed, not your professional expertise, but digitizing who you are. A personal brand is about the person, not the brand. The largest corporations on planet Earth pay celebrities, athletes, you know, all these huge personalities to personify their brand. You can't have a relationship with a company. You can't have a relationship with a brand. You have relationships with people. Ironically, in this business, clients don't care the name of the company that's on your business card. And I know executives hate when I say this, but it's the truth. Clients don't care what the mortgage company is on your business card. They want to know about you, the person they're actually going to work with. So a lot of times when we talk about a personal brand, people are trying to create a shtick or a logo or create this corporate culture and environment. And that's not what we need to be doing. We need to be sharing who we are. Remember, Facebook stalking is a term for a reason. Right? We go look people up. We're naturally voyeurs. We want to know about people. And that just means we just need to document our life. Gary Vee says it best. You need to document, don't create. And what that means is share your life, share what you're doing personally, professionally. You don't have to make it all fancy all the time. People think that, well, no one's going to care about this. But those things that we think no one cares about are ironically the biggest opportunities we have to create a connection with someone. And so share the little things that happen. And I'll give you a couple of quick examples. I'm a coffee drinker. Now I've got some gas station coffee today when I was on my way in, but a lot of times I'll drive through Starbucks. I'll get an Americano, just a black coffee guy, a little bit of sweetener, and it's like $4. So I have, you know, how much money I have on my Starbucks app loaded on a monthly basis. And I go through there. Well, inevitably the lady's like, "Hey, I just want to let you know the lady in front of you paid for your coffee." I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." She's like, "Would you like to pay for the people behind you?" "Sure, no problem." Well, then it's like $23 or something. And so this actually is a real, real example, and it happened. And so I pulled over into the gas station. I opened up my phone and I started recording a video, and I was like, "Guys, just want to let you know, I drive through to get my $4 Starbucks and the lady paid in front of me and I had to pay for the people behind me. This whole thing, the madness has to stop. Like, this is just absolutely crazy. Like, I'm so frustrated. Like, it blew my entire Starbucks budget for the month." And what's funny is because it's relatable, people engaged with it. Half of the people are like, "What are you talking about? You should want to pay it forward. You know, you'll blah, 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 blah." And the other half's like, "I know, the madness has to stop." We just need to share those little things in our life, share our pets, share what we're doing for fun, share our hobbies. Because when people are looking for a professional to do business with, really what they want is someone that's like them. We don't really understand, because we're in the industry, that as we're looking for people to do business with, we want someone that is like us, because that's what creates trust. There's a company in Nashville, Tennessee called the Brand Builders Group, and it's headed by a husband and wife couple, Rory and AJ Vaden. And I had the opportunity to be on their podcast and have AJ on mine. They commissioned a study of PhDs around branding and marketing. And one of the things they found is 2/3 of the people that were surveyed in this study wanted to see more of a personal brand from a doctor, an employer, a financial advisor, an attorney. It's 2/3 of people wanted to see more of a personal brand from those people. Well, the reason that that's significant is, number one, though their clients are the same clients we have in the mortgage industry. And the second thing that's important to note is the reason people wanted to see more of a personal brand is when you go to a doctor, your boss, a financial advisor, attorney, there's an element of stress, of being exposed. It's kind of uncomfortable, and they want to feel more comfortable. Well, we forget. We think we're making mortgage fun, but that's not what's happening. People are super exposed, their income, their assets, their credit. And if they know more about you, that's going to convert a higher level. So the takeaway from it is the higher the requirement of trust, the more important it is to have a personal brand, to digitize that reputation. And just like you said, it's not about LTV or DTI, because when we talk about getting someone's attention, people will pay you with their attention when you solve a problem. At its core, people pay for solutions to their problems. They pay with their time, with their attention, and with their money. If someone's sitting in a doctor's office waiting room, right? We showed up 15 minutes early for our appointment to update the information that hasn't changed, right? The appointment time comes and we're waiting to get called back and doesn't happen. You know, 15 minutes later, like we've all had this. We sit there for 30, 45 minutes and we're pissed. We're like, this is craziness. When we grab our phone in that environment where we're frustrated, where we're not happy to be there, and we grab our phone and start scrolling, no one's like, "Man, I hope a loan officer gives me the definition of amortization. Man, I hope I see how many loans someone closed the month before." But yet this is the content we're putting out. If we had putting something informative or entertaining or solve the problem they had of taking them out of that environment, we would have gotten their attention. They may have followed us. We're trying to come up with these incredible ideas, And really, it's just as simple as share your life, share what you're doing, talk about these quirky things that are happening. I've got a client that shares the herbs she grows on her back deck, and people engage with it all the time.
Yeah.
This is the stuff we have to realize is when we're paying attention on social media, what makes us stop scrolling? What makes us engage? Mm-hmm. And most of the time that has nothing to do with business.
No, it doesn't. And I was listening to a Housing Wire podcast a couple weeks ago, talking about just social media and like just share the stories. Nobody wants to see your review, but they might want to hear how you saved a deal or how you got somebody into a house who didn't think they could make. Like, share that story. Don't give me a lesson on loan products.
That's right.
Like, tell me how you solved the problem. And I thought that was really, I thought it was interesting, but it was nice to hear other people, you know, say that, because that's what I stop on. I'm not going to listen to an LTV story, but I do like to hear wins. I do like to hear how, you know, you had this borrower, it took them 6 months, 1 year to get their credit, and now they're in this house, and now they've got babies, and like, I want to hear the life story.
Yes, that goes back to the features and benefit. You can talk about the features of a loan program. Realtors don't care, clients don't care. But if you shared a story about how said loan product solved a problem for someone and helped them get into a home, or solved a problem of, hey, they had a baby, right? There's the five or six or seven D's that always spur a home purchase or a home sale: deployment, divorce, death, diamond, diapers, all of those different things that have degree, right? All those things that happen in life. Well, we want to be there to solve that problem for them, but they're going to relate through a story. They won't be able to correlate. Even real estate agents, realtors, they're not going to equate that, hey, this loan program is going to solve this problem. When you tell a story, though, that's something that we can relate to. But make no mistake, if you're not getting enough leads, if you're not getting enough engagement on social media, if you're not closing enough loans, whatever the metric is that you want more of, it's for one of three reasons. You're either simply not solving enough problems for people. Two, you're not clear about the problem that you solve, meaning you're not clear about what that is, or you're not sharing that with your audience well enough. Or three, people don't believe that you can solve their problem. So if you want to do more business, you want to increase whatever metric, solve more problems, be clear about the problem you're solving, and make sure people believe that you can solve that. And the way people believe isn't by just reviews and how much stuff you've done. It's about sharing that you've had a similar experience, as opposed to saying, here's the loan programs that are going to help me show you how to create financial security through home ownership. You could say, this is a real story of a client of mine. She says, hey, listen, I'm a mortgage advisor that helps people create financial security through home ownership. Because I was one of three kids to a single mom, and we moved around a ton growing up. I didn't really have any friends because we changed schools so much. And then she got a job where she was able to afford a house. And that's where I got to do extracurriculars and invite friends over. And that's where all the happiness and happy memories in my life began. And so what happens is people equate happiness and financial security and wealth creation, they all kind of go together. Like I said, we're not in the mortgage business. We're in that love and happiness business and helping them achieve those goals. So if you share a story about your life and how those things happened or how you've solved that for other people, that's where the credibility comes in. Because a lot of times this, here's how much business we did, we broke records. There's another story from Scott Harris, the CEO of Experience.com. He was on the podcast, and it was right around when Social Survey was switching to Experience.com. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the surveys that could potentially happen during the transaction and the reason we need to ask for feedback. And he was telling about a loan officer, a top producing loan officer, and his best friend, it was he and his wife's this couple, their best friends, had gone and bought a house and didn't use them as the lender. And he was smart enough to say, hey man, like, why didn't you do that? You know, well, why didn't you use us? Like, you know, we know your financial situation. It's not like there's any secrets. He's like, man, he's like, you know, I totally understand. But I kept seeing on social media, like, you guys were breaking records and you're having these busy months. And I knew my wife and I would have a ton of questions, and we didn't want to slow you down. Mm. And so sometimes this reputation management that we think we're having and showing how great we are can actually be a deterrent from attracting the people to us that we actually want to do business with. So we've got to scrap some of this stuff and stop trying to be this high level expert and focus on being relatable, sharing our client story, sharing our stories, because that's really what people want.
That's so good. And that's so, I can't even imagine how that mortgage or that loan officer felt. That would be, yeah, I get it though. Cause you do look on there and you're like, well, they're busy and I don't know what I'm doing. So they're not going to, you know, they're not going to help. I get that.
Yeah.
That's wild. Well, we are coming up on time. Phil, I could talk to you for 8 hours, but I don't think you have 8 hours today. but we are coming up on time and we do ask all of our guests on the podcast, looking into the rest of 2024, how do you plan on lending it forward?
I think the main thing is to understand we need to have an abundance mindset, that the people around us in the industry are not our competition. They're the people that are helping us show people how what we do changes their life in a positive way. You know, if in a lot of my talks, I talk about Apple when they had a PC and IBM entered that space with a PC. They didn't see IBM as competition. They put out a full page ad in the Wall Street Journal that said, "Welcome IBM, seriously." And it said, "Welcome to this innovative space where we're showing people how and why they need a PC." And at the bottom, very end of it, it said, "Welcome to the cause." And I think we need to realize that the people around us aren't our competition. They're the allies that we have to show people that a mortgage isn't just about an interest rate. It's not just about a house payment. It's a tool that we can use to help them achieve their financial goals. And if we'll help our fellow loan officer in our companies and the people that are around us, that adds credibility to the industry, which indirectly helps our business. So that's the way we lend it forward, is we just collaborate with other people in the space, help them build their business. And in turn, that's going to come back in spades.
That's so good. Well, thank you so much for joining, Phil. And I hope you don't mind when we call you back later this year to talk to us a little bit more.
Love to. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube, and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer, located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.